Welcome into a fresh episode of Fireside Sports presented by Oregon Sports News. I'm your host, Casey Mabbitt. Thank you all for hanging out with us. It's about a week before the 4th of July, so we know we got a lot of stuff going on next week. It's America. We're all excited that we're Americans and that we're getting to celebrate that we beat the British about 200 and so years ago. But before we get to all that, we've got some other explosions on the horizon, and that's free agency. We just recapped the draft, and you know, that was a doozy. That's not even a week ago yet, and the NBA summer is just getting started. I know all of you are off enjoying your summers, and it's only been a couple days of it, but here we are. It's smack dab in the middle of trade season and free agent season, so to get all that kicked off, we're going to bring in our favorite friend of the podcast. His name is Bryant Knox. You've all heard of him by now, but if you haven't, please check him out on Twitter, at Bryant Knox. Check him out on Oregon Sports News, ESPN, Comcast, NBC, Bleacher Report, anywhere that they report on sports, he's probably got his name in the door. So make sure you check him out. Bryant, how are you doing tonight?
I'm good, Casey. Thank you for the shout-out. And I know that America thanks you for its shout-out as well.
Well, you know, depending on which side of the political spectrum you're on, I know everybody's got a different opinion these days. But at the end of the day, we're all Americans. We're all proud to be here and happy to be free and helping others get the freedom they deserve. So wherever you stand on that, we're all one big happy family here. So we appreciate you guys checking out the show. We appreciate the troops for fighting for our causes, for helping us have the freedoms we have, past, present, future, and of course, family, friends, and you know, beard explosions. Those all go hand in hand, it seems like. So if you're out there and you're listening, we thank you, and thanks for your time and support, and thanks for being an American.
Family is a great way to describe that, by the way, because yeah. My very last Thanksgiving with some family, we did end up in a semi-heated debate about whether or not you should kneel for the national anthem. So the fact that you described America as a giant family is very, very accurate at this point. But I do agree with everything you just said.
We've all got an opinion. You know, everybody's got an opinion. We don't always agree with each other, but at the end of the day, we're all here trying to just make everything right. So we'll see what happens. You know, whichever side you're on, it's you're all on America's side, I hope. So that's the one that matters at this point, and we'll see what happens. Nobody seems to know, and that kind of makes it fun, makes it a little weird at times, but never dull around here. We've always got something to talk about. I can promise you that because I can't turn on my TV without seeing some goofy news come on, so I don't know when that's going to get less weird. But as we get more and more media and social media and more power on our phones and all that stuff, I think we're just getting exposed to more and more stuff, and it's just going to get to a point where it's just a collective noise. I think that's where we're at now. So speaking of noise, there's about to be a lot in the NBA, and before we get to that, we want to recap the NBA draft, which happened less than a week ago. Portland had the number 24 pick in the draft. They decided to stay there. And Bryant, I guess before we go any further, you and I talked quite a bit last week about what Portland could possibly do with that draft pick. What was your reaction to that pick being made? Were you happy they kept it? Were you happy with who they picked? What was your reaction?
Yeah, I was happy they kept it, mostly because I didn't feel like there were too many opportunities to flip it for something better. Obviously, if they'd had an opportunity to package a pick and, you know, maybe a future pick and then a role player to get a better rotation guy, I would have been all for it. But I just don't feel like that option was ever there, the same way that it was there last year when they were maybe looking to swing multiple draft picks, including future draft picks, for someone like Paul George. Nothing like that was ever on the table this season, so I was okay with them keeping the pick. I really would have liked to see them take Jacob Evans, who was available out of Cincinnati at the number 24 spot. I think he would have been a true contributor right away, in the sense that he's a backcourt player who can play defense and complement on the defensive end either Damian Lillard or CJ McCollum, allowing Terry Stotts to sort of stagger the incumbent starter's minutes. I think that he would have been someone who, like I said, could jump in, play right away because he's a defense-oriented guy who doesn't need the ball to make a big difference. And if you play him with either CJ or Dame, you don't have to worry about getting him the ball on offense. Now, of course, that guy ends up at the Golden State Warriors because I wanted him just like a year ago I wanted Jordan Bell. So that was obviously always going to happen. Obviously. Now, who they took in Anthony Simons, I think that he's a really fun prospect and a entertaining risk because he has a not many 24th pick, 24th overall picks have that high of a ceiling, but he does have a high ceiling. It's just that people don't really know what they're getting from him since he opted out of playing college ball last year. Because, you know, a lot of people forget that the rule in the NBA currently isn't you have to be 1 year into your college career to be drafted. It's that you have to be 1 year removed from high school basketball, which he was. And I think that he provides a high ceiling on the offensive end. It's just such a huge question mark if they're ever going to get that out of him, especially behind Dame and CJ. Now, one could argue from a super optimistic standpoint that maybe he reaches his ceiling or his ceiling quickly, and that allows you to make CJ McCollum a bit more expendable. But I don't think he's anywhere near that yet, which means he's going to ride the bench for a while. And that's a tough pill to swallow for a third seed team that just got swept in the playoffs.
I guess my question is, what's the rate of success for a kid that doesn't go to college and takes a year off in between high school and college? What's that rate of success in the NBA right now? Is it zero? Is it 0.01? I mean, how low of the trend is this kid starting out on?
Yeah, it's pretty low. You know, off the top of my head, Brandon Jennings took a year. I think he was committed to, Stanford or Arizona State or Arizona. It was a Pac-12 school, I'm pretty sure. And there were some issues there that caused him to decommit, and he went and played overseas. Now, Anthony Simons didn't go play overseas, so he doesn't even have that professional experience coming in. It's such a unique percentage. It's his exact situation has to be closer to 0% than it is to 1%.
Right.
So we're not talking anybody who is following a precedent. He is setting a precedent, and it's going to be really interesting to watch him play out.
Well, and you've got another guy in a similar situation. I can't remember which brother it is, if it's LaMelo or LiAngelo, but whichever one it is, you know, got kicked out of UCLA last year and then didn't really play overseas this past year, and they didn't get drafted by anybody. Does that make you a little nervous that someone with that high of a profile is not even being drafted? Does that give you kind of a wonder if this kid's got what it takes, if someone like a kid from the Ball family can't even get drafted or even looked at for a summer league roster?
I wouldn't say I'm worried about it. If I were... it's LiAngelo, by the way. LiAngelo is the one who was at UCLA, and technically he actually wasn't kicked out of the program. He was,
in my book, he was kicked out.
You know, he was for all intents and purposes kicked out,
right?
But it was LeVar Ball and LiAngelo who decided to not continue his education and not transfer to a smaller school and play right away. Because I believe in college basketball, if you transfer to a D2 or lower school, you don't have to sit out the entire year. So right. It was their decision to do that. But yes, for all intents and purposes, he was kicked off the team and out of the school. And, you know, I'm not surprised at all that he didn't get drafted for two reasons. One, unless you're the Lakers and you're fully embracing sort of the big baller brand, you don't want that distraction on your team. But even furthermore, from what I can tell, this kid just isn't an NBA player. He doesn't look like, you know, I can't remember exactly how tall he is, but he's basically an undersized wing who lacks athleticism and doesn't do anything all that well. He's just been able to sort of, you know, he's a little thicker, so he's been able to physically dominate some of the players his own size. But someone like him, I just have never really pictured in the NBA at all. And I know there was a lot of fun speculation, like, will the Lakers draft him, or are they going to try to get him on like a two-way contract or something like that? I don't think they want that drama any more than they have to have it. And especially they don't want it for a player who doesn't project to be even a decent NBA prospect.
Yeah, with all that drama, I mean, at least with Lonzo Ball, you had a lot of talent and proven talent at the college level among a superstar list of talent, and he goes number two, and maybe he didn't deserve to be ranked that high after we saw his rookie season. I guess we'll find out if he's got a shot or not, but I don't know. I guess every year after the draft, I kind of wonder, you know, how many of these kids are really going to pan out? You know, when you think it's going to be the top 10 to 15, and then you get a couple of years removed and you go, what happened to all those guys? You know, they were in the top 10 to 15. They were lottery picks or near lottery, and they disappeared. I mean, you go back and look through the last several drafts, and I challenge you to find 10 to 15 players that are still in the NBA and thriving. And I don't know that you'll be able to get that high on that list.
Yeah, I don't know about you, but I'm super stoked to look back on all of this a few years from now. And let's put it in the calendar right now. Fireside yeah. Sports, you know, 2000, let's call it 22 or 23 or something like that. We'll look back on both of these last two classes and we'll figure that out.
I'm excited for it. So they get Anthony Simons at number 24, had a shot at some other guys. We'll get into that in a couple of topics later. What about Gary Trent Jr.? You know, they gave up 2 second-round picks, really only one if you count the one they were trading away that wasn't necessarily theirs to begin with. But who they really gave up, and someone who is close to us and close to our hearts as fans, and, you know, you were looking at a jersey for him last week, our main man cash considerations just gone like he was nothing. And I don't know how that makes you feel. I know you don't even have the jersey yet. It hasn't even been a week, but that hurt. That stung. I was like, you know, Gary Trent Jr. could be an amazing prospect, but cash considerations, I mean, what he's meant to this team, I don't know what to do with that. That's just such a huge move.
I know. I don't know if I'm supposed to return the jersey or frame it for memories. You know, I think I'll do what all NBA obscure jerseys end up going through, which is put it in a closet for 20 years, then go to a music festival at some point down right. the road and throw that on. You know, I've never been to Burning Man, but I feel like I'm going to have to wear my cash considerations jersey to Burning Man like 20, like 35 or something. So
you got to do like the Chevy Chase Fletch look and wear it. Oh, you have to wear like a jersey and jeans with a blazer over the top.
Yep. Yep. Blazer jersey.
Yeah. There you go. So Gary Trent Jr., any excitement level there for you? Is that like, I mean, we know Anthony Simons is a project, so that, what does that make Gary Trent Jr. if he's taken in the second round?
It makes him a bit of a nostalgia piece because as young and new and fresh as he is, Gary Trent Sr. played for the Blazers. And I remember one time actually running into him turning a corner at the Moda Center because I think he was doing some media work at that point, and I ran into him, and he was never a big name for the Blazers, so the fact right. that I was something like 13 years old and knew who he was just pointed to how big of a basketball nerd I am and was and continue to be. But I like him because, you know, he can operate as a sharpshooter. He hit something north of 40% of his three-pointers at Duke in his first year. And that's always exciting, especially in today's NBA of pace and space. But the truth is, he's such a bad defender, at mm-hmm. least as far as the metrics go, that he is, I don't know, maybe a more consistent version of Anthony Simons, but we don't really know because we didn't see Simons play. So are either of them going to get any run? Are they just putting them in competition against each other, knowing that one of them may be on the roster a year from now and one of them may not be? If they knew that they were going to send such a valuable commodity as cash considerations for Gary Trent Jr., why would they take another project in Anfernee Simons instead of a more defensive stalwart in Jacob Evans? So the whole draft was a little bit confusing for me. Like I said, Simons in particular has a high ceiling that they're banking on, and Gary Trent Jr. could potentially become a, I don't know, Kyle Korver type player. I haven't watched his game closely enough to see if that translates, but to have a guy who can shoot north of 40% from beyond the arc is great. It's just confusing, the two picks that they made. It's almost like the year before when they traded up and took Zach Collins and then still took Caleb Swanigan later on, right? The players mimic each other just a little bit. And I'm not saying Collins and Swanigan are the exact same player, far from it, but position-wise, they mimic each other just a little bit, and I think they could have found a little more of a diverse approach in their draft strategy.
Well, I mean, you've seen Pat Connaughton drafted a few years ago. You've seen Nolan Smith drafted a few years before that. It just seems like they have this track record of drafting undervalued guards and thinking they're going to turn them into the next great player in the NBA, or at least a really good reserve player. And while that can be the case, there's not a strong track record of that happening. And I'm nervous that these were a couple of quote-unquote throwaway picks, and that's how the Blazers treated them, is we're just going to throw the dice on some project players and see what happens. I'm sure they thought they were drafting the most talented player of the position they were in, but it just seems like they drafted some question marks, and that kind of rolls into the next topic of, is this a pair of players that you can see Portland finding a way to use with or around CJ and Dame in the next couple of years while we still have their top prime years at our disposal? Because this just doesn't seem like an aggressive move to get guys in that can win now. This seems like you're building for the future or building depth for the future. I struggle to see how this is going to help them win playoff games next year or the year after. What do you think?
You know, unless Anfernee Simons becomes a true like Jamal Crawford or Lou Williams type player, a little more athletic, but of that sort of mentality and brand, I don't see him being a complimentary player. I see him, and this probably isn't fair, but I see him being one of two extremes. Either he's off the Blazers roster and potentially out of the league in three seasons, or he is good enough of a spark off the bench that he makes CJ, as I previously alluded to, more expendable. And I think Gary Trent Jr. does have a chance to be that complimentary player, in the sense that if he can become a true role player, he owns his role as a shooting backcourt player who can come off the bench and hit, you know, 2.5 three-pointers a game, something like that. He could be a complimentary guy. But it's just too tough to tell right now which one has the better shot to reach that ceiling, especially because we just don't know what Simons is going to have to offer.
So if I'm reading between the lines there and reading the tea leaves, I'm thinking you're thinking or hoping he'll be like a Will Barton or an Allen Crabbe or maybe a little bit better than that. But is that a guy that helps this team win, or is that somebody that we just kind of add to the roster and hope that we hit big on Zach Collins or somebody else?
You know, the way that I see it, and take these comparisons more as their roles, not their styles of play, because I haven't watched their games closely enough. But I think that Gary Trent Jr. has the potential to be sort of a, and this will be a little bit of a throwback, sort of a Wesley Person or Walt Williams type player for Portland. He doesn't have the size, but he can come in and just be that sort of consistent shooter, going to come off curls, hit open jumpers when Dame or CJ drives and kicks. He could be that type of player. Anfernee Simons, you know, I do see him more as potentially a Will Barton type guy, just a true spark plug. Maybe not the most refined player, but a great athlete, great scorer. I think that that's actually a very good name that you threw out there for him in particular. It really is just going to depend on if he has the fundamentals and the discipline, which we have no idea, having not watched him beyond high school basketball.
I guess I just struggle with, you know, we've seen all those guys we mentioned come through Portland in the last several years for the most part. Is that what this team is missing, even though we've seen that piece here in Portland many times? Or is that, I guess at the end of the day, is this draft a success, or is this something we'll kind of have to grade it later on in the season?
Well, we definitely have to wait. You and I were talking off the air about how much I hate the cliche, we'll wait and see.
Right.
And so I hate to throw that out there. But what I will say is that there's a reason that Damian Lillard was so upset this past year, and we're talking this year, not even a few years ago, that Will Barton was traded.
Right.
Right? Damian Lillard approached Paul Allen and said, I want to make sure we're going in the right direction. And in that meeting, he brought up, hey, by the way, why did we trade Will Barton a few years ago? There's a reason that name got brought up, and it's because that type of player is probably not going to make or break your championship success. But if you already have a solid core in place and you can keep that type of player in your rotation, it's a huge deal. And so if Anthony Simons does end up becoming that kind of player, it's really great for your organization because he can complement guys who are in their primes and who are actually all-star caliber players. But, you know, to go against my own hated cliche, we'll have to wait and see.
I just what I struggle more with is that those guys we mentioned, they took about 2 to 3 years to develop into just being a reliable role player. So I hope it doesn't take that long for Simons or Trent to get that far, but I guess, like you said, we'll wait and see. So let's move on, just like the Blazers did. We're past the draft now. We're into free agency. It starts, I believe, this Sunday night at midnight. Correct me if I'm wrong there. And guys like, I don't know if you've heard of him, LeBron James, if I'm even pronouncing that correctly, could become a free agent. There's some other guys on the list, but we kind of want to focus on him for a minute. We know it's a big, big ask for him to come to Portland. We know he likes Damian Lillard because he told us he did in an interview he did here in Portland after he lost. But I struggle with, will he be able to come here and succeed here? Yes. Will he be able to come here and take the amount of money that he needs to be comfortable out on the West Coast and not even in California? Yeah, I think we've got the money for that with Paul Allen. But is that something we could do and keep the guys we've already got on the team here and just add LeBron? Or do you think there'd have to be a lot of shuffling to get players in and out, move some guys around, move some cash around, maybe trade some people? How do you see, if this were to work, how do you see this unfolding?
Yeah, so free agency starts on midnight, July 1st. So technically we're talking the very first moments Sunday hits.
Right.
And Portland is in just such a crazy situation right now because they currently technically have, believe it or not, compared to what everyone is saying, they actually have, according to Spotrac.com, the 11th most cap space in the NBA. We're talking the 11th most.
Right.
But here's where that becomes a little misleading. And by that, I mean really, really, really misleading. Is that Portland has the 22nd most what's called practical cap space. Now, practical cap space is where it takes into account all of the cap holds that you can release and any other sort of cap flexibility there. And what's even more telling than the rankings is that Portland has minus $12.5 million in true cap space and minus $12.5 million in practical cap space, which means there is zero way for them to actually create more cap space right now other than a trade. They can't renounce the rights to anybody. They can't release anybody. They absolutely have to trade. So all of that is context to answer your question. No, there's no easy way to open up that amount of money. What you would have to do is you would either have to convince LeBron that he wants to sign with Portland, and then he can orchestrate his own sign and trade with Cleveland, which he's actually done before. You know, a lot of people forget he didn't leave Cleveland the first time as a free agent.
Right.
He orchestrated a sign and trade in which he actually opted in or signed. I think he signed a new contract with Cleveland and then ended up being the major trade piece in a trade with Miami. He would have to do something similar with Portland. And the catch in all of that is that Portland would have to give away a lot of money to match whatever he's about to sign, which is going to be buku bucks, and do it without giving up Dame or CJ, because there's no way LeBron would agree to that orchestration of a deal without keeping both of those guys. So yeah, right. you could probably look to do, you know, I don't have the trade machine up in front of me, which is obviously a bookmarked item this time of year. But it would have to be something like LeBron for Evan Turner and Miles Leonard and, you know, maybe a couple smaller guys at the end of the bench mixed with someone at the end of Cleveland's bench to make the cap work. And yeah, technically you could find a way to do it, but it would just be damn near impossible.
Yeah, I don't think that it's something they could get done. I would love to see them at least make a approach at it and see if he would be willing to even listen. I know he's already voiced that he doesn't want to do the big song and dance and dog and pony show this year, and we'll kind of see if that is true or if he just is saying that out loud. But even if it's just his business manager and agent or agency approaching Portland and seeing what they would be willing to offer, I would be okay with that. At least it gets the rest of the NBA listening to Portland as far as a free agent destination. You know, hey, LeBron's going to go in there. Maybe we should think to go there. I don't think that's how life works, but you never know. Every little bit helps, right? We're just trying to make Portland a travel destination for NBA free agents. That's, you got to get there somehow.
You do have to get there somehow, and if there's any way to do it, LeBron is the way to make that happen.
Right.
What's really interesting about that comment that you just referenced, where LeBron said he doesn't want to, you know, hear the PowerPoint presentations and all of that, that tells me that he – well, it tells me two things. One, it tells me that he has grown up big time, because when he first went off and did this tour of free agency meetings – he literally considered it like being recruited for college, because right. He didn't go to college.
He even said that. He said that's what he looked at it as.
He did. He went to Miami, played 4 years there, said it was a lot like college to him. The recruitment process was college, which he didn't really get because he knew he was going to the NBA the whole time. So it tells me that he's grown up quite a bit, but it also tells me that he pretty much knows what he wants. And he also, because he is just not only the smartest basketball mind on the planet, but probably one of the smarter, like, self-branding business minds out there as well, he very much knows that if he wants to go to any of the other 29 of 30 teams in the NBA, he can find a way to get there. So he really, at this point, doesn't need to hear what they have to offer. He just needs to sit down with his agent and the other team's management and figure out how to make it happen.
You know what else it tells me? It tells me he's tired, really tired. He doesn't the sound of all those plane rides and destination meetings. Like, you know what? We got iPhones and we've got FaceTime. We don't need that anymore. We can make this happen.
Yeah, you know, the funny part about this time of year is that all of these super rich NBA players love to have free steak dinners, right? But LeBron, as you just mentioned, is so tired, he doesn't even want a free steak dinner. He just wants to get this thing figured out, be done by the 4th of July, spend America's birthday chilling with his family, and he wants to get this done as quick as possible.
Yeah, I mean, he's probably doing it the same way you or I would. It's like, can we get this? I mean, do we have to fly out there? Can we get this done over the phone? And we'll just sign the papers and fax them over or scan them over, and we'll just be done. We'll crack a beer open on the 4th, and we'll start the summer off right.
Yep, we've all been a part of meetings at work where an hour and a half goes by, we all leave, and everyone thinks, man, that could have been done in 3 emails.
Right.
But LeBron's obviously at a little more of a high stakes situation, but it's the exact same thing. We're all tired of those things after a while. You know, maybe when you first start a job, you like being a part of those meetings because you can kind of voice your opinion, really have things, you know, you can influence things your own way. But after a while, you're like, you know what, send me an email and I'll respond and we'll be good.
Yep. That's what LeBron trail, needs at everybody this point. Wins.
Yeah, LeBron just needs to send an email that says, check yes or no, would you like to sign me? And of course, everyone's going to check yes, and he'll be good.
But at least then he knows who's interested. Speaking of who's interested, we're very short on time, so we got to get through these last couple topics pretty quick. First off, Portland's got some free agents of their own. Yusuf Nurkic, Pat Connaughton, and Shabazz Napier, I believe, are the three. Correct me if I'm missing somebody there.
I think that sounds about right.
So they got to figure out what to do with those three contracts. Of those three, could they afford to keep all three? Do you want them to keep all three? Would you rather have them pursue someone else and then come back to those guys? What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, so I just pulled it up, and it looks like they have Yusuf, Shabazz, as well as Pat Connaughton, Wade Baldwin, CJ Wilcox, and Ed Davis. And obviously not all of those guys are rotation guys, but right. I think the three main ones, we're probably looking at Ed Davis, Yusuf Nurkic, Shabazz, and then Pat probably as well. And yeah, I think that Portland can afford to re-sign all of them just because I suspect they have the bird rights on all of those, so they're allowed to go further into the luxury, just speaking in super layman's terms.
Right.
But the real question here is, what in the world are you going to do with Yusuf Nurkic? And that you probably wanted to talk about that a little bit more specifically, but he really is sort of the enigma of the group. You don't know what he's going to be offered. You don't know what you're willing to match there. I think that right there is going to be the focal point of Portland's free agency.
Well, here's the tricky part of that, as if that situation is not tricky enough, not really knowing what you're getting in him long-term, and not really knowing what the market's willing to pay for him, not really knowing what you're thinking is worth. You've also got DeMarcus Cousins, Clint Capella, and DeAndre Jordan, to name a few, including there's also Derek Favors and Greg Monroe. There's some other center options out there. They're either restricted free agents or unrestricted free agents. Are some of those guys you'd rather see Portland pursue, knowing they're going to cost quite a pretty penny to get? But so is Nurkic, or would you rather see them try to get him back for an honest offer before other teams get a shot at him? What if you're Olshay, how are you pursuing this situation?
If I'm Olshay, I'm looking at those other guys you mentioned very closely, but not because I think I have a chance at them, barring a sign and trade. I'm looking at them to see what the center market ends up being. I think that if those guys go for anywhere near the max, Yusuf is probably a little below, but right about there. If those guys can't get max contracts, then you're starting to feel really good about your Nurkic situation, because he is such an enigma that you just don't know what you're going to get out of him. And especially in today's NBA, you know, I say it all the time, and I've already said it once in this podcast, but it's a pace and space league. And I won't go as far to say that that's like a trend that's going to last forever, but it's here to stay for a while. There's a reason we call these super talented big guys unicorns. It's because they really are the rarest of player types, and everyone is out there looking for them. And while guys want to spend buku bucks to, you know, get those guys on their team, Nurkic is not one of them. He is borderline plotting. He doesn't have a three-point shot. He can defend well at the rim, and he can score well at the rim, but not on a regular basis. And, so I think that if I'm Olshay, I'm going to look at that center market very closely just to figure out what kind of money is being spent at this point.
Well, and one other guy that I would really hope Portland will take a look at, and I think he's flying pretty far under the radar. I don't think a lot of teams are going to look at him. But he's a really good scorer. He's a talented small forward. He's an underrated defender. Very injury prone, though, which could probably turn a lot of teams away, including the one he played for the last few years. But what are your thoughts on Jabari Parker? Does he sound like someone that would fit in Portland for the right amount of money?
Yeah, I like Jabari Parker. I think that he is one of those guys who maybe needs a fresh start. And I'm not saying that moving somewhere else is going to completely revive his career. After all, he has two ACL injuries.
Right.
And anybody taking him is going to, that's going to represent a risk for sure. But I think that Jabari Parker could be a valuable player at any organization. But in Portland in particular, I think he represents someone who could be a small ball four, maybe more effectively on the offensive end than Alfa Aminu. I think he could be a solid 3-point or three as well, small forward with a 3-point shot and a low post game. If he becomes available, which I truly believe he will be, that's something Portland could look at. I don't know exactly what his market value is going to be. I think that's the whole point of this conversation, is that there's so much up in the air.
Right.
But he's one that if Portland can, you know, potentially swap some young pieces, some role players, some future draft picks, get him on board, there's a lot of potential that he could fill sort of that second tier spot that Portland's really missing.
Well, and last but not least, because we're actually out of time, if you had to pick one free agent that Portland could have, say, a 75 to 80% chance of getting, who's that going to be?
I like a couple guys in that spot. I think someone like Nerlens Noel, if his camp isn't ready to commit, or if they're willing to take a sort of prove it deal, he could be someone Portland could look at to potentially make Yusuf Nurkic expendable. I like the idea of someone like a Marco Bellinelli coming in, because I think he's going to be a bargain bin type player who just had a ton of relative success with the Philadelphia 76ers. And he could probably be what Gary Trent hopes to become. And if you have that on the roster with Gary Trent learning from him, I think that is just an incredible situation. Beyond that, I think most of the bargain bin type guys are going to be a little tougher to come across, just because they're going to want to sign with the Warriors or the Rockets or anything like that. One name that does come to mind is Trevor Ariza. I would love to have someone like a Trevor Ariza come in very much in the twilight of his career, but has championship experience, 3-and-D abilities still at this point in his playing days. You know, I think that he would be just such an ideal piece to come in. But
come on, Brian, how's Rudy feeling about this?
You know what though? If he's going anywhere, it's going to be the Warriors.
True. And that would be terrifying.
It's just going to be
for the rest of us.
Yeah, it really would be.
Well, that's all the time we have. So we'll, to put in Brian's favorite words, we'll wait and see how the free agency period plays out and how the draft prospects play out. But it's going to be nothing but fun and excitement. We'll see where everybody lands, and we'll see you after the explosions happen on the 4th, and hopefully there's a few prior to that with some free agent news. But thank you very much for checking us out. This has been Fireside Sports, presented by Oregon Sports News. I'm Casey Mabbitt. He's Bryant Knox. Check him out on Twitter, at Bryant Knox. Brian, thanks again for joining the show, and we hope to have you on next time. Thanks, everybody, and stay classy.